As we turn to the Word of God for a few moments, may the Lord help both speaker and hearer that we will indeed hear God's Word, God's message for us, and that we will indeed be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin the reading at verse 10, 10 down to 20. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take in the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This passage is, of course, talking about the Christian, the believer, putting on the armor of God, being able to stand against the wiles of the devil and all the muck that comes their way, so that they will triumph rather than be defeated. It's talking about, in part, spiritual warfare. The scripture does remind us, doesn't it, time and time again, that we are involved in combat. We're involved in battle. And as we were reminded just a few weeks ago, much of the battle takes place up here in our mind. That's where a lot of the struggles take place. That's where we can be held in bondage, where we can be held captive. The strongholds that are here. The strongholds that we may have allowed to take residence. The enemy may have sowed seeds of lies. Lies about us, lies concerning others. And instead of recognizing the power that now controls our thinking, our thought patterns, we allow it to develop and we fester, so it then impacts our actions as well. When we allow ourselves to become bondage to evil thoughts, negative thoughts, anxiety, fear, lust, hatred, gossip, temper, the devil knows that we have put ourselves in a place of ineffectualness, a place of where we can no longer be effective, perhaps despite the outward bravado and the confidence that we may show. But in fact, what has happened, and what was explained a few weeks ago, we have been taken captive. We've been taken captive. But the Word of God reminds us that for the Christian, however powerful those strongholds may have come, that they may be, if we are willing to humble ourselves and lay hold of God's mercy and his power, submitting to him in faith, renewing our minds in the pure word of God, trusting in the Holy Spirit power, we resist the devil. And he flees. And what was holding us in bondage, what was holding us captive in our minds, finally has to go. And let me tell you, that is what God's will wants for us. That's what Father wants for us. So he knows if we've allowed ourselves and devil to become, you know, and have these thoughts and to have these, you know, to be in total bondage, that whatever else we may seek to do, we're not free people. We're not free people. We're not walking in the Spirit as we should do, because we're still in captivity. But God's will is that each and every believer here is set free, and that those strongholds come tumbling down. And they may have been things which were sowed there years ago, may have been there from childhood. But we can be set free even this morning. We can be set free even this morning. We sung that oldie song, you know, just now about the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus to set the captive free. And I want to come under that covering and not listen. So, friends, our struggles as believers, our true struggles, is against powers and principalities. The Lord wants us to be strong. Now, folks, there are many things that we wrestle with in the world. For instance, we may wrestle with, we may fight sickness, fatigue, a death of a loved one, complete failure, perhaps it seems, of our plans, our hopes and visions. We have questions and there don't seem to be answers. We may be suffering pain without reason. Yes, we do have wrestling, we do have fights in this world. But we also fight in the spiritual world. Because, folk, it is Satan who opposes you. If you're still not saved, if you're still not come into the kingdom of God, Satan isn't opposing you, he just encourages you. He pretends to be your friend. But he's still your enemy. But you're in darkness, you see. But once we come to the kingdom of light, once we come to the kingdom of his Son, then he becomes our enemy, real enemy. Because we now are friend of God. And Satan has been opposing God right from the time pride got the better of him. And he wanted to be like God. So now he is our actual enemy. Satan opposes us. And let's be frank, it is he who would want to sift you and destroy your body and your souls in the eternal blackness that one day will be his unending grave of torment. He wants you there. That's his aim. That's his tactic. We have to be aware of that. Verse 12 of our chapter says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And I want us this morning for a few moments to look in at the Word of God and see what he has to say about this spiritual battle and our strength. Because, listen to me, however mature you may be in years, or however young you may be, however young you may be in the faith, however mature you may be in the faith, God wants to see that you are strong in him. God wants you strong, God wants me strong in him, because there is a spiritual battle going on against the powers, the forces of darkness, and they are powerful. Over the last few weeks, I've been acutely aware of a battle going on. been acutely aware, I've been made very much aware of it. Whether I've let my guard slip, whether we as a church have let our guard slip, I don't know. But I know the Lord is calling me and us to repentance, to fall upon him, and that we will see the enemy's tactics destroyed in the name of Jesus, because they cannot stand against the blood of Jesus. We've let our guard down. I've let my guard down. Almost as much as I've wanted to just run away, but the Lord has encouraged me even these last few hours, the last few days, and I praise his name. And I also take courage because I believe that he was trying to have to take us away from what God has planned for us. Planned for us as individuals and as families and also as a church. He was having, as it were, almost a I'm going to get them. And perhaps we allowed our guard and I allowed my guard. But God has been speaking and God is saying, I am for you. We sung, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And this morning I do not want to focus on Satan. He is a defeated foe, but he's still waging a battle, waging a war. But we have to recognize where he has got in, perhaps in our minds, perhaps in our thought pattern, that we've become slothful, perhaps we've not taken prayer seriously, perhaps we are neglecting to bring our families up in the fear and the nurture of the Lord, that we're allowing them to control us rather than we are just allowing Satan to get a hold where he should have no place. So what is this spiritual battle? This war against spiritual forces? Again, I want to read verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These battles take many forms. Sexual temptation. Serious illness. The loss of a loved one, hatred of others, even against God, coveting, addictions, alcohol, pornography, drug, even pride. Let me be clear, it's not to say that every time we're sick that the devil's made us sick. He doesn't cause you to steal. He doesn't cause you every bad thing that you do. It's not his fault always. We can give too much credit to the enemy. God is still sovereign. And if we're believers, we have to submit and yield to him and say, Lord, what are you doing? What are you teaching me? How have I got to react to this situation? How am I going to be strong? How am I going to, Lord, arise above these things so that I'm still free, God, and glory to your name and people will see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, that I'm not going under? That's the devil, what the devil wants, but I'm not. You see, friends, as believers, there are spiritual forces that want to weaken you. There are spiritual forces at work that want to weaken you. They want to cause you to fall and then trample you under their feet. The Word of God also here says, our combat, our battle is never against people. That's a difficult one. But it is against the spiritual powers of darkness. Often it seems to the real believer, to the true Christian who is involved in serving others, who ministering the word and so on, that the main battles are against other brothers and sisters. And it seems sometimes that they could become our enemies. But we need to be very, very careful. The one who has walked out from our life, the one who has walked out perhaps from the church, perhaps expressing no love or sorrow, may simply be a defeated brother or a defeated sister who has not learned to reject satanic influences in their lives. Sometimes we need to look, and I'm speaking to myself, we need to look beyond that person sometimes and recognize that the power that is influencing them, and that may even take a form of spiritual pride even. So we need to pray, and not see them as enemies or anything like that, but pray, and that they with us will humble ourselves before the throne, and that his perfect love will be manifest, his perfect grace. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved. So the Word of God is very clear that rather than seeing our fellow humans, whether they're in the world or in the church, as enemies, even though they may display the characteristics of the enemy, we're told to pray for enemies and to love them. We are to pray for the softening of the heart, that God will halt the demonic activity in them, that they will be delivered and set free by the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd want people to be praying that for me. Don't you? Wouldn't you? That we'll be set free. What does 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 say? 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, that's written to us believers, okay? It says, be sober, be vigilant, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I did feel sorry. It was quite comical, unless you've been in that experience a few weeks ago when the dear lady and her children, their van broke down in Longleat Park. Did you see their car broke down in Longleat Park? Right in a lion enclosure. It burst into flames. The van burst into flames. Can you imagine the horror, the panic that they went through? Mercifully, the lions were pushed into another area and they were rescued. And she said afterwards, why couldn't it have happened with the kangaroos or whatever? Why did it have to happen in the lion's enclosure? Well, we haven't got kangaroos or bats after us, however much we may not like bats. But we do have a devil who can be a lion. And sometimes I tell you, the roar is worse than the lion itself. You know, I'm sure some people have had heart attacks because of the roar of the lion. But it's very, very real, isn't it? And some of us perhaps need to learn to shut the door on the lion. Do we not? It says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy. That's his character. And don't forget, he's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. Of course, if he can't trip us up that way, he will come in another form. As an angel, even. You know, as somebody, a messenger of light. But we're not unaware of these things. The whole point of this is that we will be alert, that we will recognize where he's getting in, where he's putting thought patterns up here, and so that we start speaking ill against somebody, or criticizing, or gossiping, or giving in, wanting to give in, and being full of unbelief rather than faith. Seeing the problem, seeing the issue, seeing the circumstance, seeing the mountain, but not the God behind the mountain, who's there with us. To be on the alert means to be watchful. And yes, friends, we need to discern the circumstances we find ourselves in from a spiritual point of view. But I don't believe in just fate. I don't think things just happen by accident. Don't think they do. Christians know that in their lives, as we yield to Christ, everything is working out for our good. So we submit to Christ, everything is working out for our good. But on the contrary, the devil, Satan, our adversary, is seeking to work everything out together for bad, for evil. That's his tactic. But I no longer belong to him. I'm not in his family. I'm in the Lord's family. I have He as my Father. Christ is my Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is my Comforter. Is He not yours? But we must be on the alert and we must discern His activity and then take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. We are to resist the evil one. Don't run away from him. He's got faster legs than you. But resist him and he does the fleeing. And you don't have to follow him. Get behind me. Satan cannot devour the true believer. He can intimidate him or her. He can harass him or her, discourage, trip us up. But for the true believer, the Christian who is in Christ Jesus, he cannot devour or destroy the true believer. Hallelujah. In Christ. In Christ. Verse 10 of our chapter, Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yeah, because we have no strength of our own. We may have natural strength, but that's not enough to combat what the enemy and his minions throw at us, what circumstances come against us. We used to sing in the olden, my olden days, not your olden days, in themselves as weak as worms. How can poor believers stand? And I forget the rest of it, perhaps for us as well. But some people just see themselves weak as worms when they don't see that their strength is in the Lord, because they're concentrating on themselves, their circumstances, and their past and what the enemy is doing. But Christ says, have hope in me, have faith in me. In me, you're more than a conqueror. We are weak in ourselves, and we need to know our own weaknesses. We do. But we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're not to wittingly give the devil and his minions any opportunity. Just two chapters previously, so it may be on the same page as my Bible is, Ephesians chapter 4. See, this is practical advice. Verse 26. Be angry. And do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't give place to the evil one. Don't give place. In your relationships with your loved one, with your children, with your colleagues. Sometimes, a temper may rise up. Well, we need to, if we do lose it, make sure we say, make our peace before the sun goes down. And don't give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. So, as we conclude, if you want to keep the lion out, don't leave the door open. We need to watch our tongues, any criticism or gossip, our reactions, indeed our emotions. Let me see very practically. If you've got any superstitious objects in your home, if you've got any doubtful books, DVDs, anything which may have the devil's influence on them, do yourself a big favour, get rid of them. Don't weaken yourself by giving him an inch. If I visit your home, or if somebody visits your home, or they see a Bible, sit in your lounge where they see a Bible, say, well, no, it's in my bedroom. I'm not taking it up there. Don't want to go up there. But is there a Bible downstairs? If your neighbours come in, do they see there's a Bible? Say, well, it's on my tablet. No, can they see a Bible? Can they pick it up? Can they read it? Do they know that you are reading the Bible? You're reading it with your family. If I come into your home, will I see a Bible? Or will I just see DVDs? If you come into my home, what will you see? So I'm just encouraging you. The Bible, the sword of the Spirit. Keep it there, keep it open, read it. I'm not going through these seven pieces of armor. Probably most of you have had more sermons on the seven pieces of armor than you've had cornflakes. The danger is it could turn us flabby if we don't put it into practice. All I would say is, put on the armor of God. Friends, as I got up this morning, I could have thought to myself, I can't be bothered to get dressed. I'll come to church in my blue stripy pajamas. I could have thought that, and I could have done that. You'd have had a nasty shock. But I could have done that. I could have thought, I can't be bothered to get out my nice clean shirt, put the trousers. I can't be bothered to have a shower even. I'm coming as I am, like it or lump it. I could. So could you. But we chose not to because we want to present ourselves well. We wanted to appear clean. We didn't want to be offensive to anybody. So we thought about what we should wear. Perhaps I didn't think as much as I should have done, but I did have a little think. But we do. Now, friends, just perhaps tomorrow morning, perhaps we can... I don't get into legalism or bondage about this, but tomorrow morning, when you're getting dressed, we might even want to physically go through the motions of putting on God's armour. And let me tell you, it's not pick and mix. I could have just put my shirt on and left the rest off. It's not pick and mix. We clothe ourselves completely. So it's not saying, well, I'm going to choose those two items of spiritual armour and leave the other five off. It's to be complete. So tomorrow, as we're getting dressed, we may want to go, as it were, through the motions of putting on God's armour just to help us and to remind us during the day and also to speak something powerfully to the evil one, but also to the Lord. Hey, Lord, I need you and I believe as I'm clothed in your armour, as I use what you have given me to defend myself as well as to attack, you're going to be with me, you're going to honour your word, and I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a great day. It could be a tangible spiritual reminder of what God has made available for you and for me as we put on the breastplate of righteousness. As we put on, I haven't got it on, the belt of truth. As you tie your shoelaces up, the gospel of peace. I'm going to be a man of peace, a woman of peace. I'm going to share the gospel. I've got the gospel of peace with me. Because remember, you are supposed to put the shoes of peace on you that come from the good news of Jesus Christ. We're to strap on the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're to sit the helmet of salvation on our head. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. I'm loved by the Lord. I'm going to remember today I'm a child of the King. Devil, you have no ownership over me. Hallelujah. And as we leave our home tomorrow, don't forget to carry the shield of faith with you. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. We have to be battle ready at all times. And thank God he's given us the armour. Yes, the enemy is powerful. Yes, the enemy will stop at nothing to try and bring us down. And they often use lies to do it. But we have nothing to fear. Because, beloved, we know the end of the story. And if we're on the right side, we know that as we firmly stand our ground and put on God's armour and face the enemy, that we have the equipment. We have the Holy Spirit. We have his word. We have the divine protector with us. That we can fight back against the prince of lies while on the battlefield. Because God has already declared victory. Praise be to his name. The enemy has been defeated. And we will sing and shout that victory for the rest of eternity. Glory to the Lamb of God. There's a battle raging around us, even in the, as it were, around the church. We are engaged in it, but let us fight the fight with the confidence that we will win. Hallelujah. Because he is for us, and we will see victory. We're going to sing that oldie hymn, Fight the Good Fight with All Your Might. And it reminds us to lean hard on Jesus. Thank you.